Morning. Welcome to worship here at Calvary Baptist Church. Whether you're finding us on Zoom or on Facebook Live, do let us know that you are making your way to us and that we have made our way to you. We're so glad and grateful to be gathered together again this morning. We have a special morning up ahead. Our very own Zach Eggleston will be offering a good word to us today, as well as sharing his own singing and songwriting. So we're really grateful for today and all that it holds. We especially want to say Happy Mother's Day today to those of you who are mothers, to those of you who mother. And we know that today holds a spectrum of emotions across the board for all of us, for each of us in different ways. So whatever today means to you, whatever you need from today, we trust and hope that this space will offer that to you. Today, I lift up and hold closely, I hold up Palestinian mothers who are facing occupation and apartheid. I hold up trans mothers who live in a world where many times they don't even get the dignity of being called mothers. I hold up our Salvadoran mothers, las luchadoras, who endured civil war and natural disaster and continue to make a way where there is no way. I lift up Black mothers this morning in the United States who are constantly doing all they know to do to simply keep their children safe. And I hold up you this morning, each of you, for the ways you have been mothers and the ways you have mothered through one of the harshest, most challenging years that any of us has faced. This is now the second Mother's Day in COVID, and we lift you up today. We pray a special blessing over you. We ask that you can feel and know that the God of life and love and liberation walks alongside you. So as we hold all these things and more together, let us sing today. She's got the whole world in her hands, just like a mother would. Let's sing.
The whole world in her hand, she's got the whole world in her hand, she's got the whole world in her hand, she's got the whole world in her hands, she's got the wind and the rain in her hand, she's got the wind and the rain in her hand, she's got the wind and the rain in her hand, she's got the whole itty bitty baby in her hand, she's got the itty bitty baby in her hand, she's got the itty bitty baby in her hand, she's got the whole world in her hands, she's got all God's family in her hand, she's got all God's family in her hand, she's got all God's family in her hand, she's got the whole world in her hands. She's got the whole world in her hand. She's got the whole world in her hand. She's got the whole world in her hand. She's got the whole world in her hands.
We gather together to worship our loving, nurturing God,
who, like a mother, knows us intimately,
loves us unconditionally,
teaches us the way we should go,
and comforts us in times of need.
Praise God, the source and sustainer of all life.
My name is Nick Kyers, and I'm your deacon for the week this Sunday and this Mother's Day. If you have anything that you would like me to pray for you about or support you this week, you can reach out to me at any time at the email address at the end of the bulletin. Now, please join me in the passing of the peace. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
La paz del Señor sea contigo.
Y contigo también.
Could the children please join me for our children's sermon this morning? I see a couple of your faces already. It's good to see y'all. So what I want to talk about this morning, I would like to tell y'all about my very favorite thing about being a pastor. My very favorite thing about being a pastor is when I get the opportunity to hold a baby in my hand and dedicate that baby to God and have that be affirmed by our church. Nothing makes me happier than getting to do that at church, getting to do it on Zoom, getting to do it in someone's house. And part of the reason I get so happy doing it is because you get to see all of the love of the community, the love of the family, the love of the mothers and the fathers who bring their child to be dedicated. And at our church, we sing one of my favorite songs while we do the baby dedication. And that song that we sing is Jesus Loves Me. You know how it goes. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Si Cristo mi amo, si Cristo mi amo, si Cristo mi amo. I love getting to sing that song. And part of the reason why I bring that up today is because our scripture passage today reminds us that we are all made in the image and likeness of God. And in a way, that's part of why Mother's Day is such a special opportunity for us to be reminded of that. And when we sing that song to the babies that we dedicate and to the children that are listening and even to the whole congregation that's there, we're reminding one another that we are made in God's image and that Jesus loves us, that God loves us, that our families love us, that our parents love us, that our whole community, that our church loves us. And so if you ever doubt how you're feeling, if you ever don't feel loved in the world, remember that song and remember that your church and your God loves you and made you in their image. Can we pray together? Gracious God, I give thanks that you always remind us that we are loved. That on this day where we celebrate mothers, where we celebrate life, where we celebrate love, we give thanks for each and every person here and for all of the ways that you remind us of your love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As we celebrate babies in our midst, and we've talked about it a lot these last months, but what a gift it is to acknowledge and remember together that we now have 5 new ones during these COVID months. And we give thanks for each and every one of them, and particularly for our new moms who are celebrating today. We're growing, and it is a beautiful thing to care for and tend the needs of each other and this community and this place. So we invite you this morning in whatever way you can to give to the good work here at Calvary. You can go to calvarydc.org/give. And maybe today you give in honor of these 5 new little ones that we have among us. This morning, I have a special blessing. It's a poem and song that is actually produced by or written by a former student of mine at Furman, Melissa Carnall, and it was a beautiful thing to come across it, and I hope that it is a blessing to all of us this morning.
En este día, cuando las cosas pasan de acuerdo al plan, no pensamos dos veces en el día de hoy. El Día de las Madres es un desayuno en cama, flores, ramos de flores y flores silvestres marchitadas, garabatos infantiles, gracias a los maestros que se acordaron, cupones caseros sin fecha de vencimiento para un masaje de espalda de 10 minutos. Y esto es bueno. Santo. En este día, cuando las cosas pasan de acuerdo al plan, este día puede ser una angustia consagrada. El Día de las Madres es esconderse en cama, la bendición en la iglesia pidiendo que las madres vengan al frente. Anuncios con ofertas de desayuno almuerzo, gritando tu dolor a lo largo de tu rutina matutina. Silencio ensordecedor mientras revisas tu teléfono. Una vez más, no llamadas perdidas. Y esto es difícil. Santo. En este día, tías solteras con vientres adoloridos, mujeres casadas con vientres adoloridos, madrastras que se presentan y se animan, abuelas creando pequeñitos, mujeres que son madres, mujeres sin añorar ser madres, mujeres que han sufrido un aborto, mujeres que han enterrado a su hijo, sus hijos, mujeres que son menos valoradas en su familia o sociedad por no haber dado a luz a un ser humano, mujeres que dieron a luz a seres humanos con su cuerpo, mujeres que dieron a luz a seres humanos a través del amor adoptivo. Madres que están cansadas de las burlas hacia las mamás. Madres que luchan por poner comida en la mesa. Madres que visitan a su hijo tras las rejas. Madres que se sienten que han fallado. Madres que trabajan fuera del hogar. Madres que son amas de casa. Tú sí eres vista. Tú eres buena, santa. La vida es dura, santa, completa y rota, totalmente desgarradora y ordinaria, y a la vez, débil en las rodillas, hermosa. En este día, que se sepa que si tus lágrimas están enraizadas en la alegría, el anhelo, la frustración o la angustia asociada con ser mujer, una madre en este día, que se sepa que eres buena, santa, valorada.
On this day, a Mother's Day poem. On this day, when things have gone according to plan, we don't think twice about today. Mother's Day is breakfast in bed, flowers, tidy bouquets and wilty wildflowers, messy kids' drawings, thank you to the teachers that reminded, homemade coupons with no expiration for a 10-minute back rub. And this is good, holy. And on this day, when things have not gone according to plan, this day can be heartache embodied. Mother's Day is hiding in bed, church blessings asking moms to come forward, chalkboard brunch deals shouting your sorrow along your morning route, deafening silence as you check your phone again, no missed calls. And this is hard, holy. On this day, buried, women who have buried their child, their children, women who are less valued in their family or society because you haven't birthed a human, women who've birthed humans with their body, women who've birthed humans through adoptive love, mothers who are tired of mom shaming, mothers struggling to put food on the table, mothers who visit their kid behind bars, mothers who feel they have failed, mothers who work outside the home, mothers who stay at home and work. You are seen. You are good. Holy. Life is hard. Holy. Whole and broken. Utterly heartbreaking and ordinary and weak at the knees, beautiful all at once. On this day, let it be true. All of it. Any of it. On this day, let it be known. Whether your tears are rooted in joy, longing, frustration, or the heartbreak associated with being a woman, a mother, on this day, let it be known you are good, holy, beloved.
A reading from Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, to be like us. Let them be stewards of the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, the wild animals, and everything that crawls on the ground."
Humankind was created as God reflects him.
In the divine image, God created them.
Female and male, and trans, and non-binary, and genderqueer. God created them.
God blessed them and said, "Bear fruit, increase your numbers and fill the earth, and be responsible for it. Watch over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the living things on the earth."
God looked at all of this creation and proclaimed that it was good, very good. Evening came and morning followed the sixth day.
Thus, the heavens and the earth and all their array were completed. On the seventh day, God had finished all the work of creation. And so, on that seventh day, God rested. God blessed the seventh day and called it sacred, because on it, God rested from all the work of creation.
this morning.
Good morning. Oh, go for it.
Sorry, I was just going to welcome you, Zach. Sorry.
No, that's great.
This morning, we are really thrilled that we get the chance to hear from our very own Zach Eccleston. As you know, Zach joined us in November as our helping us with communications and operations, and he's been a tremendous asset to our community already. We're thanks for his many gifts that he brings to Calvary. And one of the gifts that he brings is his wisdom and theological insight and clarity of thought and mind. And so this morning, we really look forward to having Zach. We welcome his parents and some family members who've been able to sign on and join us today. Zach, we give thanks for you this day, and we look forward to hearing from you now. Thank you for saying yes.
Thank you so much. Good morning. If we haven't met yet, I am Zach. I use he or they pronouns. And yeah, like they said, I joined in November coming on, and it has been such a blessing so far. And so I feel extremely grateful and humbled to be able to speak this morning, and also very nervous. but we're going to make it through. So for most of my life, I have felt different or out of place. Growing up, you kind of know what you're supposed to be. And when you don't fit into what you're supposed to be, it is such a disconnect internally and from relationship. And it took a long time for me to learn what that meant. But eventually I came to the realization that I am queer. When I first started to realize that, probably around end of middle school, beginning of high school, I was just so distraught, which my parents can testify to. I had a hugely overactive conscience and was just like torn up inside, could not sleep. And for a long time, I really tried to hide that and instead become what I thought I was supposed to be. And for a long time, because of that, I was just miserable and so, so tired, because essentially what I was doing and what a lot of queer people do, especially those raised in the church, is I was living three lives. I was living one life that was pretending what I thought I was supposed to be, as a sort of performance. One life internally to myself, where I was trying to figure out everything that felt disconnected and wrong. And then a third life that we don't talk about as much, but that third life being that life that I share with God, separate from myself, separate from the people around me, but still very much a real relationship that I was raised with. And this third life is super common for people in the church, this being a knowledge of how messed up you are, accompanied by some strange hope of something becoming better. And we just call that feeling God a lot of times, that it's highly complex. And but when you boil it down, a lot of times it's a knowledge that what you are is not what you want to be, but there's a hope that you can become it. But the issue with that God is that it's a God bought into you feeling shame, feeling guilt for who you are, and that debilitating sense of helplessness that has so often throughout history kept religions powerful. And there's another piece here too that exacerbates it for us. It's a very American phenomenon, and it's a lie that is profitable. And that lie being that separation denotes significance, that being distinct from other people is what makes you important. But there's a confusion between being unique and being individualistic, that to be special, you have to stand out in some way, exist in some fashion that denotes your distinction from others. And so in this large mixing bowl of society, of religion, of sense of self, we've got people hiding themselves from others in perpetual shame from their faith, and feeling like any isolation they feel must just be the cross that they have to bear to be important. Unsurprisingly, it's not very healthy or sustainable. But for a long time, I was convinced this was just the way that I had to exist. And that much of that unhealthiness was due to my queerness or my sins that I could not shake off. But the queerness that I had been taught about growing up in the South, growing up in conservative Christianity, this queerness that was vilified and held as a sin, as something that was wrong, broken, counter to what is good, was not the queerness that I ended up finding many years later as I learned who I truly was. Because when the hiding became too heavy a weight to bear for myself, which it does for most people, I started coming out to the people around me, which is scary and terrifying, because suddenly you are taking two of those lives, the one that you live to others and the one that you live to yourself, and smashing them together when your whole life you've tried to keep them apart and separated. But in those moments, I was so blessed to experience a direct opposition to that American lie of isolation. My friends celebrated me. My family reassured me of their love. And perhaps in the strangest twist, it really made my academics do really well, because I was able to talk from a really specific perspective in religious studies, and learned how to parse and talk about particular issues around queer identity, that because the religion has so often been cis and straight, and male and white and et cetera, et cetera. My voice ended up being a boon to me. I'll get into that later, or I won't, I don't know. somewhere in all of that love and that celebration and that reassurance, I started to realize that there is a breakdown in that sense of self that so many people are forced into. And so for me, and something I've come into the realization of, is that queerness has been liberation. What felt like it was a cage, a trap, something to be weighed down by, ended up being the thing that lifted me up and freed me. It means I no longer have to live those three different lives, but the one that I live is complex and messy and unique and good. It's about how in my uniqueness, I am more connected to others, more seen, more understood, more loved, or at least more capable of feeling that love. And at the end of the day, the separation between those two is not very far. And since embracing who I am, I've come to hone in on a theological concept that has sort of guided all of my theological thoughts and musings and life in general. Imago Dei is a Latin term that means the image of God. Elijah touched on it in our time with the children earlier, and it's pulled from Genesis 1, where God is thinking about how to create humanity. And the phrase that comes out is, "Let us make humankind in our image to be like us." And okay, first, can we talk about the us language? Because it's weird. It's messy, and we don't talk about it a lot. But God is more than one thing. God is infinitely complex and layered and personal and relational. In God's self, God is relational. To the people God is creating, God is relational. God is one and also three. Folks, God is queer. And so on the other side of that, we inherit the same fortune. We exist in relationship to ourselves. We exist in relationship to each other. We exist in relationship to God. And as complex as we get to be as individuals, because we reflect this infinitely complex God, we get to do it in the knowledge that we all share this common thread that ties us together, that brings us in community. For queer people, we have found that our uniqueness is not isolating, but that it is communal. Our celebration of each other and ourselves is rooted and how we might stand out and how we might be different, how we exist counter to everything we've been told we should be. And in this celebration of how distinct we all are, we somehow stumble into connection. And I think that feels paradoxical to a lot of us, that forming community around our differences feels unsustainable. But for queer folks, we're ultimately not that different from each other. We have the commonality in the fact that we are queer. And I think in that, the church has a lot to learn. A lot of conversations within a lot of churches today about queer people has to do with how they can be more accepting or welcoming to queer people. But the issue here is that that's the wrong side of the equation to approach from. The lessons of liberation and community and personhood are not rooted in the church for queer people to learn from. Queer folks already have learned that. They have that because of the necessity that they have just had to. Instead, the church has the responsibility to itself become more queer. The beauty of queerness is that it necessitates expansiveness. It forces us to see ourselves and God as bigger and wilder and more endlessly creative than we could have previously conceived. Because God is wild. God is complicated and expansive and weird and new and old and everything and nothing and all of it. And queer people already know how to exist in those strange, undefined spaces. Queer people already know that part of God intimately. And what queerness brings to the church is not simply diversity, but an antidote. It's a counter to the American lies that we soak in about separation. It's an antidote to the splintering of self and inability to relate to God and to each other. And it's an antidote to our feelings of isolation. And if the past years taught us anything, nothing could be more important than an antidote to feelings of isolation. So while I struggled for years thinking that my queerness was an impediment to my relationship with others and myself and God, it turns out that leaning into who I am and who I was made to be taught me more about these things than I ever thought possible. And that liberation, that knowledge, that community are all things that the church can and must become. In seeing ourselves and each other as more of the intimate or infinite reflection of God, we will find healing, relationship, and freedom from the restrictions and shame that we feel. So I wrote this song as sort of a way to process what I wanted to talk about this morning. But I am much better at poetry and metaphor than I am at just like direct speaking. So in some ways, I think the song might be the sermon and this was just a precursor. And in other ways, I think the song might just shed some light on the sermon in ways that speaking can't. But regardless of how that ends up working out, I hope you enjoy it. The lyrics are in the bulletin if you want to follow along. I'll throw that in the Zoom comments once more. It's already in the Facebook comments. But I hope you like this. I'm going to be nervously watching all of you react. Thank you.
It's everyone who's ever told me that they've heard him has followed it up, but how their faith makes them feel weak. And maybe somewhere I learned wrong, that love is unconditional. So why does everyone I know who survived the church
and profound and amazing gift that you've offered us this morning, Zach, in spoken poem, song, music, and so many languages, bigger, wilder, and more endlessly creative. I have lots of notes that I've jotted down that I look forward to holding on to as we walk these days and months and years to come together. As you go today, on this day, go knowing that you are seen, that you are good, that you are holy, that you are beloved, take the time to learn the colors this day that you didn't learn growing up, whatever they are. You, like God, are bigger, wilder, and more endlessly creative than you know. Go in peace. Go to love and serve the Lord. Amen.